Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
So, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, AFR.net. We have a Today's Issues Facebook page that you can go and read the stories and comment at. Wesley's monitoring that. Are you monitoring that, Wesley?
I'm monitoring that. And the very last topic or discussion that we had to do with there's an article or a news report on One News Now called the quote, monkey wrench that is special rights. And that was, a Republican congressman is calling on Trump administration to revoke an Obama, which is what you were saying was all this precedes Donald Trump. President Donald Trump, Obama-era executive order mandating special rights for transgender individuals serving
right.
in the military. So,
and let me just say this. President Trump and his administration, some of the people in his administration, I would say the majority of the people in his administration, are going to be against this PC, the sexual revolution garbage, mm-hmm. like subjecting the army to transgender sensitivity training. It's just, that's nuts.
And telling women that they have to get used to the fact that men might be in their showering
if they feel like they're a man, if they feel like they're a woman
right.
one day.
Yeah.
This transgendered stuff and all this stuff. So it's Department of Education under DeMoss, what's her first name?
Betsy.
Have decided they're not going to push that stuff anymore.
Right.
Within the public school system, in as much as the Department of Education has control over that.
Right, right.
Okay, well, Secretary Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, he's issued a LGBT Pride announcement the other day.
Hmm.
Well, the White House is not going to
right.
issue an LGBT Pride pronouncement like the Obama administration did every year, and they mm-hmm. covered the White House in rainbows and, to celebrate the same-sex marriage decision
sure.
by the Supreme Court. I'm just saying that President Trump's administration is one department's going to be doing this, another department's not going to be doing this or going to be doing this.
This is probably not high on the president's list.
Well, you have to have the people in place to fight back against this stuff.
Yeah.
I think General Mattis will. But it may not be today or tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Because you have to work through the proper channels. And I don't know. I'm just saying that I mentioned it's like pulling weeds to stop this PC stuff. And I think you'll see that in the Army.
Yeah. It's not like General Mattis has anything else going on.
Right.
You know,
right.
So
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But it is significant, I think, that the President and the White House have not issued a LGBT Pride Month proclamation like President Obama did for all those
right.
Years after. Of course, President Obama was a hater and a homophobe for the first 4 years, I think, of his administration. And then he evolved. And was, he was against same-sex marriage. And then while he was in office, he evolved to be in favor of same-sex marriage.
So did Hillary Clinton. Must have been something.
She was
in
a
the
hater.
Water.
She was a hater and a homophobe.
She was a hater and a bigot and a homophobe.
Homophobe for most of her career.
Oh, her husband, Bill Clinton. He what a homophobe he was.
Defense of Marriage
signed
Act.
The Defense of Marriage Act.
He was a homophobe, bigot, racist
hater.
Hater for all those years.
This is tongue in cheek, folks. I hope you realize we're.
But I mean, anyway.
That's what they call us because we're
right,
against.
Right.
Gay,
you're against same-sex
marriage
today. You're a hater and a homophobe. Well, then. You're saying that President Obama and Hillary Clinton just a few short years ago.
Right.
And they want to transition. Right. They don't even want to own the fact and say, you know what, at one point I was a homophobe. I was a bigot.
Right.
The reality was, at one point, they were moral cowards because they actually did support homosexual rights and gay marriage. They just didn't think they could get elected by saying it.
Right. Exactly.
So,
duly noted, Ed. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve Jordahl, what do you got for us, Steve?
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Nice to be with you, Wesley.
What about us? Steve?
Well, I see you guys every day. Right. I just don't. I never. I hardly ever have a chance to talk to Wesley.
There you
It's good to sit with you.
Well, you haven't seen me for a week, but go ahead. no kind of welcome back.
Welcome back, Tim. Okay, it's good to have you back.
Good radio voice.
Nice to be wanted.
The latest on the London terror attack. The latest terror attack. The officials there are investigating
The white guy.
The white guy, apparently, allegedly, reportedly, there's no official announcement. All we know officially is he's 46 years old, 47 years old. The one new piece of news would be that they are now not sure that the man who died at the scene died from the attack. He was being treated for after falling ill. There, and he was pronounced dead at the scene. Inquiries are continuing to establish whether there is any link between his death and the attack. The attacker is being charged at this point with attempted murder.
Now, the reason I said the white guy was the first news account I read about that, they identified the attacker as a white male. Well,
witnesses say that
the guy driving the van,
one of reportedly three people that were in the van, but witnesses report diversely, which happens in these kind of situations. People see things and hear things that don't always agree. In fact, they never agree right off the bat. But in this case, the reports are that he got out of the van, was blowing kisses to the people, waving, says, "I've done my part to kill Muslims." So it has some of the hallmarks of a reprisal attack. And, of course, you know everything that England has been through in the past couple of weeks with regard to Islamist terror. So they are lumping this, and I probably think rightly, attack on innocent Muslims coming out of a mosque after a Ramadan service.
How many people died?
Well, they're not sure if anybody died from this attack. There was one person that died at the scene, but he was being treated at the time after falling ill, and he might have just died from whatever illness he had. It might have been a heart attack. For example, that he had
10 people injured.
10 people injured at this point is all that they're attributing to the attack. So
let me
fortunately,
ask you,
this guy was you know, not a very, he was inept as a mow down driver.
So and of course, there's no way of knowing, but the first thing I thought was, is this the beginning of civil war in Europe between forces who are going to be increasingly angry at Muslims, innocent, whatever, and angry at ISIS and terrorist attacks? Do they start targeting Muslims?
Yeah, you do have to ask that. And a number of people that I was listening to last night as this was developing were saying that would be exactly what ISIS and these people that are behind the Islamist terror would like, is for the West to kind of devolve into this tit-for-tat. You know, reprisals and
grudges. It's always innocent people when you have those kinds of things. It's almost always innocent people that suffer the consequences.
Well, I think this calls us to look at the definition of terror, because the colloquial definition of terror in our minds has been some radicalized Muslim that goes out and does something to the West or to other Muslims based on their radical Muslim beliefs. Well, maybe we need to start defining terror as an act of violence upon innocent people with a political or religious statement in mind.
It can't be religious if it's Islamic. Now, maybe if you're a Christian, it can be religiously motivated if you're a right-wing Christian nut. If you're a Muslim, you cannot be motivated by your religion to do anything.
Because the religion is a religion.
Right. Right.
So again, this is tongue-in-cheek. Right. This is tongue-in-cheek
But
Monday.
This is what the PC crowd promotes.
Right, that's right.
But it's hard to know anymore what's tongue-in-cheek with all this strangeness that's going on in the world. You just don't know.
Yeah, but you know, this is seven people injured, nobody died.
Ten injured.
Okay, 10 injured.
And one possible.
Person, yeah, one possible.
Yeah, but you're what sure you're yet. Saying is we'll have to watch and see, but what you're saying is there could be a rise of people who get mad and angry and upset over the Muslim jihadis day after day,
right,
killing innocent people. You get somebody who gets angry enough, they'll go out and say, well, I'll show them. I'll get retribution.
Right.
I'll get revenge. And you're saying this might have been the case.
And Muslims, you know, for the most part, Muslim women, obviously, is what I'm talking about. They're going to stand out because of their clothing.
In this,
and that's what I'm saying.
But if you go to a mosque,
in this case, they were coming out to a mosque.
They knew what they were doing.
And y'all may have discussed this on the program, but has there been any predominant or major Muslim or someone who doesn't believe in terrorism but is a Muslim that has taken a hard public stand against radical Muslims? Because, you know, it would take a lot of that going on for other people to realize, like, this guy, just because they're coming out of a mosque doesn't
there,
make
There was them. After Manchester, yeah. wasn't there?
There was a handful.
Yeah.
Manchester was a turning point in that, at least in England, from what we're hearing, in that Manchester is when some of the Islamic, the mosques and the social
Islamic.
There
were like 100 of them.
Yeah, there's a pretty good chunk, it seemed.
That started speaking out and said, we have to clean house.
And even then, that could be too late. Because, I mean, who knows? I just know that another problem with this is that in their Quran, they're taught to lie to advance what they believe. And so even the 100, how many of those, you know, and I'm just throwing, I know I'm throwing doubt in there, but.
No, well, we talked about this before on this program. Of course, you know, every time we talk about this subject, somebody's going to post on our Facebook page.
It's or coming.
They're going to send us an email, and they mean well. They're going to say, quit saying radical Islam. It's Islam. Well, folks, we have to have a way to distinguish peaceful from non-peaceful people. Okay? And there are peaceful Muslims, millions of them, who don't want any part of this. Now, my guess is most people who don't have any connection to this jihadi movement, you know, they're probably nominal. In their, you know what I'm saying?
They are nominal.
We want more nominal, lukewarm Muslims. That's what we want. That's what we're promoting in this world. Because the more devout they are, the more seriously they take the Quran, and the more likely they are to be
kill people,
or to be angry with and to be hostile to the infidel and to people who don't believe like they believe. That's just a fact. The more religious, the more devout these people are, the more radical they become. Go ahead.
It's interesting, though. We come from a Christian perspective where we're used to thinking of the Bible as the inspired, inerrant Word of God that doesn't really contain. There might be things we don't understand about it or can't quite explain, but it doesn't contain contradictions of facts. Remember, the Quran is not. I don't know if they believe it is or not, but we know it for a fact not to be the inspired word of anybody. And there are contradictions in there. And so it's possible for someone to be a very devout Muslim and just say, I'm not taking this. It doesn't stand as a whole. So I think there could be very devout Muslims that just reject part of the Quran that says, we're going to lie, we're going to kill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they interpret it differently. I don't know Islam enough to speak for that, but I do know the facts, which are, We kind of tend to come from this Word of God where it's saying if the Word of God said to do something, we know that it has to mean to do that.
The demographic that commits the acts of jihad in the name of Islam is about a 20-year-old to 35-year-old male almost every time if you look at that. You don't see 70-year-old Muslim men out blowing themselves up, killing people. You don't see, rarely do you see a female involved in it at all. And certainly, they're mostly mothers and grandmothers just trying to take care of the children. You see that 20 to 35-year-old demographic. Why? Why is that? Because of the jihadi teaching that if they die and kill off infidels, they go to be involved in an orgy.
Mm-hmm.
For saying it that bluntly, this is the teaching. Am I right, Ed?
Yeah, you get 70 virgins.
Okay, what motivates this 25 to 30-year-old demographic is the teaching that the only way they can please Allah for certain and go to paradise, which is what I just described for them. It's odd. Those Muslim men are told to avoid carnality on earth, but if they die, they get to enjoy carnality
forever
to the end.
And they're indoctrinated. More times than not, they're indoctrinated from birth to that.
Well, and don't forget, this is 25 to 30 is prime war fighting age.
That too.
So you have a lot of young men who are in ISIS or in some of these groups, Boko Haram, because that is prime war fighting. And so if you look at radical Islam as an ideology advocating war against the infidel, then your prime age group is going to be that age group. And in fact, Islam teaches there are only two houses. There is Dar al-Islam, which is the house of Islam, and there is Dal al-Harb, which is the house of war. And the house of war is every place that is not submitted to Islam. So that kind of age group would be prime candidates for, quote-unquote, going to war against infidel, unbelieving, unsubmitted nations.
And if you believe, if it's your belief and you're taught through your imam Islam is a very fatalistic religion, all right? So they believe that, you'll go to heaven or paradise after you die if it's Allah's will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's left to, that would be how the average Muslim would answer you. It's if it's Allah's will.
Yeah.
All right? They would say that in the same way a Christian would say if it's God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can bypass that question and you can go to heaven for sure, or paradise. I'm not sure what the name is in Islam for.
I think it's paradise.
Paradise. You can know for sure you'll go to paradise. It won't be any guesswork.
Right.
If you will kill infidels and please Allah in that way, and if you die a martyr, or you die jihadi, then you go, you get a free ticket straight to paradise.
Yeah, no uncertainty.
No uncertainty. So if that's your religious belief, then you can see how that motivation would overcome the human fear of blow myself up.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are in the world, that's unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what religion you are. The natural state of man is to want to survive and live. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you want to say, well, I'm going to have to blow myself up like the man did in Manchester. What the young man? What was he? 20 something years old.
I think
at the concert. Okay. In other words, I'm going to walk into this place. I'm not. He isn't fighting. He isn't trying to attack an army who's attacking his country. He isn't trying to attack people who've done something to his family.
Yes,
it's not self-defense.
Or retribution.
Sure.
This isn't something that they say, that needs that kind of motivation, which is the normal, natural motivation for wanting to commit acts of violence. You want to get back at somebody for something somebody's done to you. That's the expression, go postal. You've heard that. People just get to a boiling point where they get so angry about something that's been done to them or perceived unto them. They want to go lash out, and sometimes it leads to violence. So none of those factors involved. So it's to say, well, I'm going to go to a coliseum where young teenage girls and maybe their parents are watching a rock star or pop star sing. They don't have any weapons. They haven't done anything to me or my family. They've not attacked anybody. They never even left the country. They're not the British Army. And I want to just blow myself up and kill as many of them as I possibly can. Now, think about that. What would possibly motivate somebody to do something like that? Because that doesn't make any sense other than if you understand the religious dynamics at
right.
work here. And so, but that, what I've just described, is never talked about in the mainstream media.
No, they need more jobs.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Tagliano and Wesley Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Yes, Wesley.
Just a recap of some of the things that we discussed today that's up on our Facebook page. That's Today's Issues Facebook page. We discussed Trump's lawyer and how the investigation is going, as if you needed to know anything else about the investigation.
He's a high-powered New York lawyer that's defending. Is this a personal attorney he's hired?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look.
You know, have you seen him on TV?
Mm-mm. Nope. And then
you guys even watch the news?
No. No, not even watching it.
Well, I've seen him. I've seen him on TV. I can't go.
You mean on purpose?
Yeah. Right.
Well, he came out after the James Comey testimony. Sure. Did this gentleman, who's President Trump, has hired as an attorney to speak for him on legal matters, I guess, related to this. But I didn't know how that works. Can the President of the United States hire a personal attorney?
Yes.
He can?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we also discussed the Russian threat to the U.S. planes. We also discussed how a Republican congressman is calling for some of the executive orders as it relates to Obama transgenderism to be pulled.
There are rules, though, related to suing the executive. I think they're constitutional rules,
and all government officials.
That's why I wondered about hiring a personal lawyer.
Well, yeah, there are things that you cannot sue the president over. But there are also things that predate his presidency that they're investigating, or allegedly, or could be investigating him on. And when we say a personal attorney, as opposed to in his office as president.
For example, White House counsel.
White House counsel. His White House counsel is a government. It's basically there to defend the administration, the White House, not necessarily Mr. Trump specifically. But I'm almost positive he can hire another attorney to represent him on. It's his choice, because he's still a U.S. citizen, on other matters than maybe, for example, his business dealings.
Sure.
He might be able to use that in just crafting. You don't always have to use an attorney to sue someone. You know, you can use them to craft messages. You can use an attorney to talk to the court on your behalf. A number of things that attorneys do that don't always necessarily result in stepping in front of a judge and jury, but.
Yeah, so you can go to the Facebook page there, and you can find out more about that. And if you miss any part of the segment, of course, we've been live streaming, and that'll be at the top of the screen. Don't forget, we also interviewed Carrie and Stacy on Unite.
Stolting.
Carrie and Stacy Stolting on their website and their efforts to remind us of our patriotism in America and honor veterans.
And you can also go to our Facebook page if you need a good attorney. I think we've been talking about that and a list of good lawyers for a variety of...
No, not really. And we're not going to give Abe away, so don't ask.
Yeah,
that's right. You can't have Abe.
Well,
hey, can I end with something a little bit lighter?
Seconds. Yeah, you guys, it's going to be quick.
You guys probably aren't that familiar with the group Kiss, but the front man for
My
Kiss...
My favorite band in high school.
Gene Simmons wants to trademark the I love you sign.
Trademark it.
You mean for
the sign language for the hearing impaired? The two fingers up and the thumb out? He says he invented that to mean rock on, and he wants to trademark that.
To rock on.
Gene Simmons.
Yes.
An ego the size of a
Which now you know why
Grand
I couldn't
King.
Play any music that would be
I see.
along with this.
Can you do that?
Well, no, we're going to try.
I want to pray and fast all night.
What would he get from it? Would he get money from it?
I'm going to have to cut in on you guys here and tell you we got to end this show right here.
We're going to keep going after the music ends.
Yes.
You guys are gone.
Thank you for listening to our program today, everybody. And have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tomorrow.